Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Hey, are you in your mid-30s like me and feeling like you've accomplished some things? Well, that's nice for you. Wonder Girl is a 16-year-old hip-hop producer from Brampton, Ontario. By the way, best Indian food this side of India. Whose work appears on the new Jay-Z album, Magna Carta Holy Grail. The song is Crown. So I'm going to interview a teenager about being on a Jay-Z album. Then I'm going to go talk to a guidance counselor and figure some shit out. Also, Simone Schmidt and I are old pals from her Guelph days and her time in the band $100. She's in at least two bands right now, a solo endeavor called Fiverr, whose new LP is coming out this September, by the way, and The Highest Order, who helped kick off the Toronto Urban Roots Festival, or TURF, this week. Simone and I are going to spend some time discussing the pros and cons of music festival culture and why she finally deleted her Facebook account. This week's episode of Creative Control with Vish Khanna is brought to you by the Eden Mills Writers Festival, which celebrates its 25th anniversary this September 13th to 15th in the beautiful village of Eden Mills, just outside of Guelph, Ontario. Over the last quarter century, the festival has grown into a nationally acclaimed and widely respected literary event dedicated to promoting and raising awareness of Canadian literature, both young, emerging authors and writers, and very well-established ones. And they have a very exciting program planned for this year. For more information about the festival, visit EdenMillsWritersFestival.ca. The song you're hearing is called Crown, and it's from Jay-Z's hotly anticipated new LP, Magna Carta Holy Grail. The song was produced by a 16-year-old woman from Brampton, Ontario, who goes by the name Wonder Girl. Honing her craft since she was 9 years old, Wonder Girl became the protege of superstar producer and Drake collaborator Boy Wonder, who guided her to win the 2012 Battle of the Beatmakers competition. She's already collaborated herself with Sunreal and Rich Kid, Travis Scott, French Montana, and when Jay-Z's new LP soft launched on July 4th, Wonder Girl's profile rose like crazy. And she's not even done high school. Joining me on the phone to discuss this further is Wonder Girl. How's it going, Wonder Girl?
It's good. How are you?
I'm very well. It's nice to speak with you. Now, first of all, can you tell me what your July 4th was like?
It was crazy. Just people like calling me and texting me and tweeting me all the time. Like, my phone was just blowing up.
Right, which is probably great and also a little overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had anything like this happen to you before?
Like, it was sort of when the Uptown stuff for Travis Scott came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that made my phone go crazy, too, because a lot of people like that track.
Right, okay. All right, cool. Well, from what I understand, Travis Scott actually hooked you up with Jay-Z. Can you elaborate upon how you came to work on a record by Jay-Z?
I made a beat, and I sent it to Travis Scott, and he said he was going to do some stuff with it. And a few days later, he texted me and said that he's about to change my life. And then he was like, a few days later, he wouldn't tell me what he was talking about. So my managers were just going crazy, like, maybe you're on Jay-Z's album. And a few days later, he called me and told me, like, I was officially on his album and told me everything that happened. And went along. That's
amazing. So what is that? So what does being on Jay-Z's album actually mean to you? I mean, and you can be as specific as you want. What does it mean financially? What does it mean for you as a fan of music?
Like, it means a lot because I listen to Jay-Z and I listen to all those people, and to have my beat on one of his albums at my age, like, it means a lot to me. Like, it's huge.
Yeah, no, it's clearly this is one of the reasons we're talking, and I'm glad that you appreciate it, because on some level, Jay-Z is a significantly older artist in hip hop, and it's kind of cool to me that he resonates with you.
Yeah.
Now, what were you actually going for with the beat with Crown? When you kind of think about what you were kind of shooting for with the actual production, can you kind of talk about that? What were you aiming to do?
Like, nothing really. It was just I found a sample and I just made something with it. I wasn't really aiming to do anything with it.
Right, because when you made it, you obviously had no idea that maybe Jay-Z might work on it, right? You had no conception
of
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What was the sample that you found?
Sizzla, Solid as a Rock.
Oh, okay. And that's just something you found and you wanted to incorporate in your song. All right, that's cool. Now, you obviously didn't get to work with Jay-Z in person, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
What do you make of what he did with your beat?
Oh, I love it.
have you listened to it like a trillion times?
Yeah, I've listened to it like a few times now. I just haven't had much time to listen to the full album, but yeah.
And sort of lyrically, what's your take on what Jay-Z's saying in the song?
What he's saying was, like, he was being very cocky.
Basically, yeah, he is being cocky. And yeah. I mean, it kind of suits the song. You started making beats at 9 years old, and I can't even conceive of this on some level. How did this happen?
Just like, I was watching videos of my favorite producer, Timbaland, and he, like, just watching him in the studio working, like, but not actually making, like, just like creating stuff, instrumentals. I really liked that, and I wanted to do the same thing.
Huh.
At that time, I just started making stuff on my keyboard, and then I went on to making stuff on computers, and I learned all of this through YouTube.
You learned everything from YouTube? Like, you have no other musical training? You just watched YouTube videos?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's amazing. What did your parents actually support all of this right away?
Yeah.
And did they outfit you with, what did they get you so that you could, you know, be enabled to do this?
My aunt has helped me a lot by getting a lot of the equipment that I needed. And then later on, I just started getting the equipment myself.
Okay. So you just accumulated equipment from relatives. It sounds like your family's very supportive of this.
Yeah.
When did you actually become, like, your name, your moniker, Wonder Girl, is kind of interesting because it makes me think of Wonder Woman, and then I think about your association with Boy Wonder, so there's like this Wonder thing happening. What about, from your perspective, where does the name Wonder Girl come from?
At the time, I was, like, I really liked Boy Wonder's beats, and I was just listening to his beats, and at that time, I still needed a new name. So I sort of took his name and switched it around and added girl.
Okay. So he's Boy Wonder, you're Wonder Girl, and together, like, what is his role in your life meant to you? Because from what I can tell, he's had a huge impact on your life.
Yeah. He's my mentor, and he's helped me just make my beats better.
What kind of advice does he give you when it comes to beat making?
Like, he just, like, just how, like, how to last in this industry, and he gives me a lot of tips on FL Studio.
Okay, and when you say tips on how to last, can you share a couple of those tips? Just because there's going to be people who are, you know, you're already in a position at 16 where people are now going to look up to you because you've had such success. So, like, the success you've had already, what are some of the tips that Boy Wanda has given to you?
Just, like, stay humble.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's about it? Because is that difficult to do when you're in kind of a genre and a realm where you're kind of forced not to be that humble in a way? Well, you're not forced, but a lot of it is like kind of bragging, you know, a lot of, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of it's kind of being showing off. You have, and you know, when you call yourself Wonder Girl, I don't know how humble you sound. You sound like, you sound like a superhero.
I'm not a cocky person, so it's not really hard to not stay humble.
Right. Okay. You know, many music producers across genres and styles, they develop a signature sound, you know, over time, and people want to work with them based on that. You are a young, you're a younger producer, but how would you describe your style right now?
It's rap, hip hop type beats, but like hard hip hop type beats, and it's not usually like what people are making right now.
When you say it's not what people are making right now, how do you distinguish what you're doing from what other people are doing?
Well, a lot of people are making like this genre called trap.
Yeah.
And like it's like a little bit of that and a little bit of like hip-hop, like real hip-hop mixed in to like one beat.
Right. So that's kind of your focus. When you hear, have you heard Yeezus by Kanye West?
Yeah.
What do you make of the production on that record? Because the production on his record has got a lot of attention. What do you make of that record?
It's really different. I like it though. Good.
When you say it's different, is it different from everybody, or just different for the genre?
It's like different from everyone. Like, you've never really heard it before.
Yeah, you mentioned Timbaland and you mentioned Boy Wanda. Is Kanye someone you also kind of look up to as a producer and an artist?
Yeah, as an artist, not much as an artist though.
You don't have as much of an affinity for him as an artist.
No, but I'd like to work with him.
good cover. That was a good cover at the end there. That's good. So after working on a Jay-Z record, what's your next move here?
Just keep getting placements, and I want to win a Grammy too.
You want to win a Grammy? Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you have lined up in terms of placements at the moment? Do you have anything else?
Nope, not yet. Just trying to figure it out right now.
Okay. And then you're in, did you just finish the 11th grade?
Yeah.
So you're going into 12th grade, you're going to finish high school?
Yeah.
But all of this stuff might it's going to start to keep you busy. Is it a goal of yours to kind of focus on school and get that done?
Yeah, I have to focus on school because if I don't, my mom takes my computer away.
Doesn't that same issue happen to Boy Wanda sometimes when he's not concentrating? Doesn't his mom take his stuff away?
I have no idea.
I can imagine that happening. Well, it's great to speak with you. I want to let people know that the new Jay-Z LP is called Magna Carta Holy Grail. It's available worldwide on Sunday, July 7th. And its star-studded guest list includes Brampton, Ontario's Wonder Girl, who produced the song Crown. And for more information about all of these things, visit lifeandtimes.com and wondagirl.com. That's WONDAGURL.com. Wonder Girl, again, a great pleasure to speak with you, and best of luck with everything.
Yeah, nice speaking to you too. Thank you.
Well, among the bands playing the Toronto Urban Roots Festival is The Highest Order, a great band featuring members of another great band called $100. The Highest Order put out a record recently called If It's Real, and they've been playing all over the country. And joining me now to discuss this further is Simone Schmidt. Hi, Simone.
Hi, Veach. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay, good. What are you doing?
I just made French toast for a person, Ann Abbott, who I work for, and then I'm doing an interview in the middle of my work.
So. Yeah, that's. I appreciate you making the time for this because I know you got a lot going on, and I don't remember the last time we spoke relatively recently, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. We always just see each other around in the like very suspended time of music festivals that somehow blend in all together.
Yeah, it's true. We were both at, when was the last time we would have been in the same festival? Probably in St. John's, or was
Vanya
it
Vanya?
Was it Newfoundland or Guelph? I can't even remember which one came first.
I think Kazoo came after.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Anyway, that was fun. You've played a lot of festivals in this country. What do you make of the whole festival culture? Because now we've got another new festival, Toronto Urban Roots Festival, and sometimes I wonder if there's just too many festivals. What do you think?
The festival culture really depends because there's all these different kinds of festivals, and I think they fall into different categories. But Toronto Urban Roots Festival is a kind of festival that I think is interesting because I actually am very glad that some of the performers are coming to Toronto and that I'll be able to see them. Like, I would really like to go see Nico Case or Kurt Vile, but I don't know that I would have the money to go see them if I weren't playing the festival. So for me, I'm like very happy. I also think that the Toronto Urban Roots Festival is an interesting categorization of music. The idea of urban roots is kind of, well, that like, that includes musicians like Kurt Vile or Nico Case, and not it's not like so much like country or alt country. It's kind of looking at songwriting, I think, maybe to categorize or to root an artist in roots. They're looking at the songwriting and maybe not the instrumentation or the visual aesthetic, which is nice, I think.
Well, you yourself have been in a band that was sort of categorized as a roots band, and then I think part of why you started a different band was to kind of escape that pigeonholing. You were in $100, and that was pretty much a country band, and now you're doing kind of more of a rock and roll thing with The Highest Order, and I'm curious, was that purposeful? Was that part of your rationale for doing a new thing, was kind of having an escape route from being pigeonholed?
We actually just started a different project, right? So it's like, well, I like to describe the difference between the two bands, even though there's crossover membership, as like sometimes on a weekend you go to a party with some friends, and then the next weekend you go to a party with some other friends, but some of your friends from the last weekend's party were there, but then it's still a different party. But so like, I don't feel like we were strategically starting a new band to escape a genre, but I will say that I, as a musician, got quite bored of the alt country and roots scene because I feel like it actually kind of is a boring approach on a musicianship level. Like, there's none of the virtuosity of the more traditional forms of country music in alt country. And then there's none of like the attention to tone or songwriting that is present in both rock and roll and country music. Like, I feel like it's an excuse to like not learn your instrument and like don a cowboy hat a lot of the time. So for me, I'm quite glad to be in more of a rock and roll band, but on purpose. It's just like a nice side effect of wanting to play electric guitar, that I get to play rock and roll shows a lot more.
Right. Do you think that because you've played so many different kinds of festivals, the whole point in this country, it seems, for festivals is to bridge worlds for both listeners and for musicians?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
They're often very eclectically programmed, and there's sort of something for everyone. But there's also this sort of sense of like, hey, if you don't like something or you're unfamiliar with it, here's your chance to maybe experience it and learn something about it. Do you feel like people will have that opportunity at something like the Toronto Urban Roots Fest, which just by its name, maybe not by its programming, but by its name, seems to be more specific?
I don't know, because it's kind of, I think that it's more the geography and rather the programming that allows for a festival goer to be able to check out whatever's available, which is to say, my experience of festivals is that I go and I party, and then I go to like wherever is the like most convenient, based around like a few performances that I definitely want to see. I think maybe if I was more organized, I would just like go to everything or something like that. But you can only consume so much music, right?
I kind of feel like the majority of your experience as a festival goer is as a performer, right?
Oh, all of it, yeah.
you weren't a big festival person before you started playing them.
I never would have paid money to go to a festival.
Now that's interesting. Now, why is that?
Oh, I think it's because it takes a kind of like approach to life to be a festival goer, I think. I find it very overwhelming to be in big crowds and tiring and dehydrating. And like, I don't know, I really consume media in maybe a slower pace than a lot of other people. So I just like put a record on repeat, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And so like the same with shows. I feel like I can only actually pay attention to them for so long. And then if the rest of the point of being at the festival is not to watch the shows, but just like party in a huge crowd, then I would like rather leave. So that's why I never would have paid for festivals. But back to the geography of the festival, I guess this festival is interesting because they're doing this thing that where there's like the main grounds, and then there's this after the main grounds, you can go to like a series at some of the bars in Toronto. And so that's what we're playing. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that anyone who actually goes to the festival will like come out to Lee's Palace on a Thursday, unless they're like avid music lovers who really, really, really want to make the most of their passes.
Right. And that's kind of what the demographic of festival patronage is supposed to be, I think. I mean, who else could withstand? You kind of alluded to this yourself as someone who tries to, engage in a festival, you find it somewhat difficult because it's a little overwhelming on every level. And I think that the ideal festival patron is living for that experience. They want to be kind of overloaded and experience as much as they can in as short a period amount of time as they can.
Yeah. You know what? It's not because I don't want to be this way, but when I was a child, my parents would not take me to theme parks or anything like this. So I was never desensitized. And so I find everything a little more overwhelming than most people would. I'm figuring out as I get older.
Yeah, no, I mean, you and I have been to several different kinds of festivals together and like all over the country in some ways. And I feel like the ones that I engage with the most are a little bit more low key. They're in little towns. And I don't know if that says something about me, but they don't seem as sort of imposing. I feel like I can go to them, and there's not as many choices in some ways, which makes it sort of easier to figure out what I'm going to do. And that's just, you know, I struggle with it a little bit too, because like on some level, as amazing as a lineup for something like Coachella or something is, I don't find the idea of going and being immersed in a crowd of 100,000 people that exciting. Like I having it be one thing after another, for some reason that just doesn't always appeal to me. Yet I go to festivals all over the place. I like festivals, but there's something about the big ones that I find a little daunting.
Yeah, and Turf will be interesting because I feel like it will be kind of a combination of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the off-site stuff, which makes things more less overwhelming. It's just like going to a few concerts at once and not being at a festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, that's interesting. And no one will be camping. Like, it won't be like a camping, I guess there's just a lot of tips to festivals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true. This is an urban, like you're in a city and you're kind of doing a little crawl around the city. Like you're going to a main grounds, which is primarily at the Fort York Garrison Common. And then there's club shows, and it's an interesting setup. I'm certainly not knocking this. I think it's a cool idea. I just was curious because you and I have frank conversations, and you're very opinionated, and I wanted to talk to you about sort of festival culture. That's what I think. That's why I wanted to talk to you.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know. Like festival culture is like it's so strange to me. I don't get it at all.
Uh huh. There you go. But you've played. You've probably played a festival in virtually every province or territory in this country, and they're still mystifying to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it doesn't make any sense to me why anyone would go to a music festival. That said, I am a musician and not, like I'm a music lover in a different way. Like, I don't think I ever, I know plenty of people who only buy records and,
yeah,
like, never
totally.
Go see live music. And I think I only started going to see live music a lot when I started playing, because I had to, because I was around for so many shows. But
yeah,
I don't know. Everyone just tries to find a balance in their life. And a lot of people need to like balance the loud show with some quietude. I find like my ears work out. I sound like a real bore, but you know what I mean?
No, we're both boring. We're not boring. We're just being, we're just looking at festivals a little bit more critically, as opposed to just being, yes, I'm going to this multi-artist, multi-staged festival. I think sometimes you got to step back and be like, what are we actually doing here? What are we actually absorbing by seeing all of this stuff at the same time? That's all. That's all I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I feel like one thing that festivals allow people to do is make very quick comparisons. I would say that some festivals that I've gone to, not like Langevania or Sappi, but like larger festivals like Hillside.
Uh-huh.
I've left Hillside, and the people who have contacted me after I played Hillside were people who never go to concerts during the year. And that's like their time when they go and check out music live.
Yeah.
And because they work jobs and they don't allow them to go out on a Thursday night necessarily. And they kind of, they consume their music all at once, and then they buy the records, and then they write to you and they're like, I saw you here. It was great. Thank you so much. And I think that's a nice part about festivals.
It is. I think there's a weird, there is a kind of resentment among people like me. I don't actually, personally, I don't have it, but I've talked to people who go to either people who set up shows all year round or go to shows all year round. There's a slight resentment, I think, at the festival culture, because it's basically saying like, hey, everyone, don't waste your time all year going to everything else. Here's everything you could possibly want in one weekend. And I think that can be a little vexing for some people.
I could see that angle. And yet at the same time, I think like that really people do a lot of important things in their day to day. And I think I would begrudge television more for like creating like a way of distracting oneself, like a disengaged kind of medium that on a regular basis people escape to, rather than like, you know, going to a show where they get to like engage directly with something that's that's like, that's real, that they, you know, or I would like begrudge the movie theater for charging like $14 a ticket and $20 for popcorn, for doing the same thing and taking people away from like a year round live art scene. But I just feel like the picking on the festival for detracting from that, it just seems like a little ridiculous.
No, I can appreciate that. I think it's definitely, when they're done right, you get sort of value for your dollar and all that. And you're right. I think some people, of course, as a new dad, I'm certainly going through this. Like, I don't have time or the energy or the money to go as much as I used to go to like individual shows. And sometimes the festival is nice because you do see a lot in a very short amount of time and for little money. So yeah, I just want to have a conversation where we think about this a little bit, and that's what we've done, and I appreciate that.
Oh my gosh. I didn't feel like we were slagging anything.
No, we're not slagging. We're not slagging at all. We're talking. We're just having a talk. Now, I want to, before we should wrap this up, because you've got to get back to work, and we should, that's just the way life is. But I want to ask you both about what's up with the Highest Order. Actually, let's start with that. Mm-hmm. What's up with the Highest Order? What's going on? You got these shows, anything else?
We have these shows. We're going to go play Sappy Fest, which is nice. And then, I don't know, I think we're going to be playing around the U.S. and Canada over the next year and working on a new record. We love playing together. It's so fun. And, everyone's in good health. And so we will go forth. That's nice. I am looking forward to go and play Chicago. I think we're going to go start playing Chicago every month, which is cool. I don't know why we're going to Chicago, but we just decided to do it.
You have some kind of arrangement where you're playing every month?
Yeah.
How'd you figure, where are you playing? Like the Empty Bottle or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. That's
exactly.
Nice venue.
Is it? Good. Cool, yeah. So
there's a great restaurant right next door called Bite. I think that's the one, yeah. It's called Bite, I think. It's good.
Is it just small portions of food?
Well, the last time I was there, I got did I get the poutine? Someone really, because we're Canadian, they were like, you got to get the poutine. And I don't know if I like the poutine. I don't want to slag Bite. But I ate there twice. The time before that, it was really good. No, the portions were fine. It was good.
Okay.
You thought because it's called Bite that they might just be like, here you go. Here's a bite.
I have to say I prefer a small portion.
Oh, well, I'm sure
you... And I thought that perhaps there was, like, the whole restaurant was built around the idea of smaller portions, like bite-sized everything.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think that was a motif. I mean, I think they're just like, people bite anyway. Yeah, it's good. You'll enjoy it. The Empty Bottle's good, and you'll have a good time.
Cool.
That's good. Hey, here's the thing that I wanted to talk to you before we got off the phone. You yourself, personally, left Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Peace out.
Why did you leave Facebook? I miss you on Facebook.
I felt like I have an addiction to my smartphone. I go on tour a lot, and I have to have a smartphone, and that's why I have one. I think maybe 3 years ago I would have said that I never would have one. It's quite clear to me that it's essential in order to keep up with the pace of things and the way in which people work when I'm on the road.
Yeah.
So I have one. So I had Facebook, and I had a pretty easy time at moderating my use before I had a smartphone. But what I find is that my addiction to my smartphone is actually more physical than it is mental.
Mm-hmm.
But it then it's like, I just scroll through with my thumb when I'm bored, and I go into Facebook, and then I overexpose myself to it. And I think that overexposure to Facebook makes me a boring person. And so what I found I was doing a lot of the time was, like, if I was like bored or lonely, I would go on Facebook, and I actually wouldn't like deeply engage with an idea or with a person, which is kind of the antidote for boredom or loneliness, actually. And I was becoming more and more unhappy as a result. So I decided to leave. I wanted to leave about a year ago, but I couldn't figure out how to run my band pages still. But if anyone out there is conflicted about being able to leave Facebook in their personal identity, but maintain their band or business identity. Just make a new identity, assign all your permissions to the new identity, don't add any friends, and then deactivate your old account.
So are you totally gone? Did you deactivate it?
Yeah, I deactivated, but you can never be totally gone, so you have to reactivate.
So if you reactivate, you'll just come back if you decide.
Yeah, I will be totally back.
Okay.
Back.
I appreciate what you're saying. It's a huge time-consuming thing, and I can totally understand it. I don't know. I've never really got hung up on it. I just sort of do it, and it's kind of fun sometimes. And I know people are leaving it in droves or whatever, but that's good. No, it's good that you. I'm surprised you went basically completely cold turkey. Did you try to just minimize? Obviously, you went through a period where you tried to slow down, but you couldn't do it, right?
Yeah, I just found, like, I'm an impulsive person, and like, the impulse to check Facebook became more and more frequent and less rewarding. I also just find that I'm on Instagram, which I really like on a visual level. I like the pictures that some people take. And I'm on Twitter, and so I can parse the internet and articles. Like, I follow a lot of journalists that I admire.
Yeah.
And those were the two reasons that I liked Facebook, because I liked how it was organizing the internet for me. It was allowing me to see what people were reading. And you know what? I'll tell you, this is going to make me sound a lot worse. I started hiding the people that I was getting bored of. On my feed. And then I realized that I was hiding every person that came up almost. And I was like, oh, I don't like how people, it's not that I don't like people. I just was like, I don't actually like how this is being used. So I left. But I will say that I've written a lot more letters over the past 3 days since I left Facebook, because I want to know how my friends are doing. And I have also started trying to memorize poetry when I'm bored instead on my smartphone.
I see. You're trying to better. You're better. You feel like you just weren't able to better yourself because Facebook was too distracting, and now you're able to self-improve.
My attention was just totally screwed up. My parents started using iPhones, and they're like people who, like, my dad used to write books about critiquing technology and its shortcomings on an ethical and intellectual standpoint. Anyways, he got an iPhone, and so did my mom, and their level of distraction has increased tenfold. It is so funny.
It is distracting.
It's a really drastic effect.
No, I was going to say that there might be people listening to us on the smartphones. Like, your parents might be listening to us right now on a smartphone.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. How you doing?
This is your way.
I don't think so.
This is your way to communicate. All right. Well, listen, I want to let people know that the Highest Order's new record is called If It's Real, and you can learn more about them on Twitter at The Highest Order. And even though Simone's not on Facebook, The Highest Order are. They're on Facebook. You can find them there. And you can learn more about them at highest-order.com. Simone, always a great pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for your honesty and frankness.
Oh, well, thank you for conducting such a good and revealing interview. I hope that you have a great day.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca, or if you're in the KW region, at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkhanna.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.
Hi. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.